Coming up on TMS, what does it mean?
Player one was not ready.
Got milk money yet?
Worst tip ever.
This snow tastes like orange.
Oh, driving on the freeway.
Gross. Therapy Thursdays and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
In your enthusiasm to show Mary a good evening out on your wedding anniversary last night, you had a whole lobster, and quite a large one, I might add, and numerous olives. Between worry and lobster, well, in a word, Bill Turner, you're having a dream. This? A dream?
I say, and then I start to smell them, so it's like a smell that tastes like other.
The morning stream, the morning stream, the morning stream.
Ladies, we heard you. This is The Morning Stream.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to The Morning Stream. It is March 29th, 2018. Scott Johnson here with Brian Ebbett. Hi, Brian Ebbett. Good morning.
Hello, Scott Johnson. So that that clip you just played.
Yeah.
Have you ever, maybe it was a documentary. Yeah, that.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard... I think I wanted to say it's from a documentary or it was from like some sort of YouTube thing. A guy who works in the Ben and Jerry's ice cream tasting.
Oh, we played it on here. The guy that that talks about how you get the, he has a little tiny spoon.
Right. And you get the, you have to mix the air in with the,
yes,
with the ice cream when you're tasting it to make sure.
I have that someplace.
That's exactly who that reminds me of. It's like the Ben and Jerry's.
I'm gonna find
it. And then I'm tasting some chubby hubby, and I put it in my mouth, and then I go.
All right, I have some options here. Let's see if we can find him.
Okay.
No, that's that guy.
It sure tastes like cheese.
No.
One of those tastes.
That's not it. Hold on.
Oh, you actually have his.
I think I recorded it.
I kissed her.
Oh.
She tasted like tobacco.
No, wait, Steven.
You have good taste.
No.
For clean tastes as good as...
No, I don't know where it is.
Well,
I think
Cat
I did
Kipper
it.
Just put the link in the chat room.
Oh, all right. Well, I'll just play that. Yeah, this guy's great. He's a treasure.
So in tasting, what we do is take a small amount right off the top. It doesn't take much. That's the warmest part right here. I'm going to invert the spoon.
Here he goes.
Cover all 9,000 taste buds. Aerate it, warm it up, driving up that top note, that cream, pure vanilla, sweeteners.
That's him. That's
the guy. He's great. So this dude, what's funny, here, I'll play this one more time.
I say, and then I start to smell him. So it's like a smell that tastes like other.
So his deal, he's... He's in an interview about a breaking and entering in his apartment building. And he's saying that he can smell and taste the thieves because they're in the room. In the interview, he says he heard something and then he could smell and taste them, which I thought was really odd.
So somebody needs to mash those two guys up so that he's describing what the burglars smell like. He goes, top notes, vanilla.
Yeah. Absolutely. And that guy needs to, and why that's not already auto-tuned the news, I don't know why that guy's not a song already.
Oh, no kidding.
Both of these guys, that guy too, would do for a treatment there. They're still making things, right? You can go there and see their channel and hear them make music, right? That's a thing?
Oh, they're totally still a thing. Yeah, they just, I don't know, I think once they released their software that lets anybody auto-tune the news.
Yeah, it became less...
They accidentally made themselves obsolete.
I hadn't thought about that.
I think nobody does it as well as they do. The Gregory brothers or the Gregory family. I mean, I think they were the Gregory brothers, but.
Yeah. Is that girl, who's she? Is she a sister? What's her deal?
I don't know. I don't know if she's a sister or a Gregory wife.
I always wondered about that.
Somebody in the chat room knows, but yeah.
Maybe she's a slave. Maybe she's there against her will. I'm just saying. I don't know. I have no idea.
You will be auto-tuning until 2019, and then we will free you.
So, speaking of weird stuff, right?
Yes.
I have further gone down the hole of why do people say things to me that I don't understand?
Right. So in the long tradition of fart gas and explosive tip.
Yeah.
And
what's another one? Do we have a third one? This might be the third one. I can't remember. But yeah, sometimes people will say things to me in public and I don't understand them. Now in fart gas and explosive tip case, one was in a parking lot, one was in the car.
Right, driving down the road.
And they were both yelled at me from far, relatively far away, with the ambient noise of, you know, the area and cars and the highway and everything else. So there's some sense in not understanding what they were saying because I'm in a place where it's hard to hear.
Sure.
Yesterday, this happened to me in a place that was not loud, that was, he was maybe a foot and a half from my face, and I don't know what he said. And I was so, not embarrassed, but so shocked by the fact that whatever he said didn't make any sense to me, that I just smiled and said, yeah, thanks, and then left. So I probably could have asked. I probably could have said, I'm sorry, what? I probably could have done that, like people do, you know, when they want clarification. I felt too embarrassed to do it because of, I didn't understand what he said. So I'm at the checkout line at a Smith's. Does anyone have Smith's?
Unless no, you're familiar. Well, I mean, other people I'm sure have Smith's, but we don't have those here in Colorado. They are a... they're part of the Safeway group, aren't they?
Either that or... Oh, I don't know now.
Because you guys have Kroger or do you have King Soopers?
We have Kroger-owned... We have Kroger-owned stuff, but we don't have a Kroger specifically. Like an actual Kroger store. Yeah. And the Smiths are a little higher end, a little nicer, a little... I don't know. Not higher end, but they're a nice grocery store.
No, Smiths is a Kroger. Kroger is...
Oh, it is Kroger then. Okay.
It's part of the Kroger group.
They didn't used to be. They got bought... Kroger is slowly buying everybody. That's the deal.
Don DeGuss in the chat room says, nope, no Smiths here. We only have Morrissey's. Well done, sir.
Well done. That was pretty good. Yes, yeah, yes. I hope your girlfriend's in a coma. Anyway.
Oh, I'm serious.
Oh, my gosh. I'm in the mood for Morrissey, actually. I love his music.
Our prices are so low, so low. You'll never want to shop anywhere.
There's no better deal in town, and we'll match their price if you do.
Our produce is the freshest around.
Bring in your membership card and save. Anyway.
Do we take double coupons? Yes, we take double coupons.
I want Morrissey to run a chain of of grocers. Oh, my gosh. That's good.
So you're at the Smiths. You're in line.
At the very least, go like get a gig where he just does commercials. That's amazing. All right. I'm in line. I'm just getting a few items. Nothing big. I'm trying to stock up for when Kim leaves town again this weekend. Which, by the way, I haven't mentioned this. Kim leaves town again this weekend.
Jeez Louise. It's almost like she's trying to get away from you, Scott.
It feels like it. It feels like it. So in this case, last time it was to help Taylor with a photo shoot in Milwaukee. This time it's to take Nick and two of his friends on their little senior trip, spring break getaway. They're going up to Washington, and they'll be in Portland, and going to be maybe on the coast for a bit, that kind of thing. It's basically the same trip that her and... Taylor did with Taylor's friends when she graduated. So just a fun little getaway deal. It turns out Kim is so much fun that this isn't embarrassing for any of these kids. They're all stoked to go with her.
Of course. Yeah.
So this isn't like, oh, I can't believe we have to go with your mom. It's right. Like, yeah, I mean, they want to. They actually want to go with her.
Kim is, you know, it's just in saying hip and with it, I'm sounding very unhip and unwith it. But I mean, you know, she doesn't act like a mom when she's out with the kids, I'm sure. Right. I mean, it's just like, oh, let's go do this. Oh, this sounds fun. And she's always up for it. And sort of like, no, we could probably get hurt.
Yeah. She's the funnest one there. And it's easy to see, it's easy to go, oh, well, is she, you know, what's the deal? Is she trying to live out her young life again or something like that? No, this is just her in her natural state. This is how she rolls. Nice. So that's what they're going to do. They're going to be gone for 7 days. It's going to suck, all right? But Carter and I are here, and it's going to be great because this weekend, all the festivities are just her and I. We haven't done this forever where it's just dad-daughter time. It's going to be great.
Cool.
And we're going to go
doodling,
see...
probably?
Oh, yeah, probably some doodling. Definitely going to go get a movie or two in.
I know what movie you're probably going to see.
I want to see Ready Player One, and I want to see The Isle of Dogs.
Oh, right. I forgot that comes out this weekend, too. Ooh.
Yeah, those are the two hot ones for us. Although, I'm not sure it's showing here this weekend. It's like limited release or something, the dogs one. I'm not sure. But anyway.
Oh, really? Also, it's like an artsy movie.
And I'm going to make her, I'm going to sit down and make her watch The Littlest Prince or whatever that is, that deal.
You're going to make her watch it.
Yeah. It's her who has to, not me. Of course.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Whatever. However you have to justify that one.
But weirdly, I'm very much looking forward to it. But anyway, so that's what I was doing at the store. I was stocking up on stuff for this weekend because she leaves tomorrow. And I'm at the thing, and a guy, again, probably in his 20s, just right across from me, it's a dude, well kept, handsome young guy, not some, you know, long haired, earring wearing weirdo, and just like a good looking, looks like he's just, yep, this is where I'm here to pay for college, and then I'll be off to my career as a lawyer or whatever. He looked like that kind of person. Okay.
Okay. So he's the checkout dude. He's
checkout
the guy.
Yeah. Checkout dude. Gotcha. Checkout man. And at the end of the conversation, as we're saying, he's like, "Do you want any?" I'm like, "No, I think that's good. We're all good." And we get to the end of the normal sort of exchange there. I sign for the credit card. He hands me a receipt, the last bag, and says, "Me trop stallops." That's the words. He says, "Me trop stallops." And I remember those. That is the words he said. I swear to you, he said, "Me trop stallops." And I said, "Okay, great." And I just left. I didn't know what to say.
You didn't want to say, "I'm sorry, pardon me," or anything like that? No. Excuse me,
I mean, I should have, because I'm supposed to be a person, a human being. I should have asked. But I was too weirded out. And part of it's maybe like a little shell shock from all the other times this has happened. And it's never happened up so close. Now, if it was somebody I knew, if it was one of my kids or something, I'd say, "What?" And they'd say, they'd clarify themselves. But in this case, I just got in this, like, he caught me off guard. Because all the other communication up to that point, 100% made sense. No weird words. Knew what he meant, knew what he needed, knew what he wanted. He knew what I wanted. There was never any confusion. But in this one particular case, "Me trop stallops." And I'm spelling this, by the way, M-E-E-T-R-O-P-S-T-A-L-L-U-P-S.
Meat Trump Scallops.
Meat Trump Scallops. No, that's not it. So I present this to you and the chat try to come to help me here. What do you think it is?
Well, here's a theory.
All right.
And I'm going to channel my inner Raylan Givens.
Okay.
If you run into a guy who says something weird in the morning, you ran into a guy who said something weird in the morning. But if you run into people who say something weird all day, maybe it's time for you to get your hearing checked.
It might be me. Yeah. It very well could be. And I already know I have kind of a weird left ear thing going where it's not that I'm going deaf, but I know it's less than my right ear. It always has been. My whole left side is just garbage. I think I was all wedged up against my mom's uterus or something weird, and it just never worked out. So because when I came out of that thing, they tested my hearing as a little kid, and they're like, your left ear is a little weird. Or your right eye, you know, I got the mole on the left eye. Mm-hmm. I got like that's the eye that went first with the cataract deal. It's just a mushy garbage eye.
Half of your body is dissolving right before our very eyes.
Yeah, so. my left hand and arm are just kind of lame. Like it's just garbage the way it's always been. So it's possible. I mean, I will 100% cop to the idea that I maybe just didn't hear it, but I swear to you, he says to me, "Me trop stallops."
Saying it fast, saying it slow. Me trop stallops.
Me trop stallops. No, me trop me. But he said it like "me trop stallops," like like there's the bag, like that kind of. Yeah. Google says there's nothing.
Okay. Yeah, well,
So I thought I'd check Google.
You don't know how to spell what he said. I mean, it could be me.
Yeah.
Trapstall ups. There's only, I mean, you know, you don't know how it might
it could have been him saying me.
Stallops. Thanks for stopping by. I'm just seeing if there's anything like.
It was chat room city and says, "What's the context? I'm just checking out."
Yeah, I mean, it's the last thing he says to you, so it'd be like a "have a nice day" or "thanks for shopping at Smith's."
Yeah,
or
have a good
like
one,
that, right?
or even it wasn't a question because there wasn't inflection that sounded like a question. So there was no like meat drop scallops. It wasn't like that.
Right.
Or stallops rather. He says meat drop stallops, almost like don't let the door hit your butt on the way out. Kind of that's the tone of it.
Yeah.
Like don't forget to say hi to your mom or, you know.
Say hi to your mother for me.
So I agree, Stoic Squirrel, in the chat. I might be overthinking it, but I don't know what it is.
Well, see, all right. So consensus, Jeannie is saying the consensus is that it's a TMS fan who did it on purpose. I have serious doubts about that, or serious questions about that, because let's say you met one of your fans, somebody that you're a big fan of, sure. right? Like, let's say you got to meet, and by the way, I'm not comparing you to David Letterman, but let's say David Letterman is like one table over.
Yes, I love Letterman. Sure.
From you at Five Guys Burgers.
Sure. Perfect example. I like
enjoying
this.
A nice Five Guys Burger.
Yeah.
Anyway, so you look over, you're starstruck, or you're at least, you know, like, oh my gosh, I want to say something nice to him. I want to say, oh dude, I'm such a big fan, or I really love what you do, and are you getting any beard hair in that burger and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You're not gonna have the wherewithal to say, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to mess with David Letterman so that this perplexes him for days.
Yeah, no, that's exactly. You know what? This is good. This is a good example. I would never do that. And if somebody's even a mild fan of TMS, at the worst, they just wouldn't say anything. At the best, they'd say, oh, hey, are you Scott Johnson from the Instance? Oh, I love TMS and the Instance and this and that. And it's so great. Thanks. Right. And it'd be good. Right. That's what you do. You don't go, let's see if we can, I can make it on the show with a Meatrop exactly. Stallops name.
That's right.
I agree.
I've been sitting on these five syllables or four syllables forever, and I'm hoping to get the chance to use it on him.
Yeah, Stephanie Ray, I am absolutely not the new David Letterman.
Eat those scallops.
Meat
drop. Eat those scallops.
Meat drop. Eat those scallops.
Eat those scallops. Did you buy scallops?
Nope. No, I don't buy those. Gross.
What?
It was all crap. I bought like...
Scallops are fantastic.
Well, no, they're okay if someone makes them right. I'm not a seafood guy. I just don't... seafood kind of makes me feel gross unless it's... I kind of... If it ends with crab and shrimp, I'm good. But more than that...
Dude, oh my gosh. While Kim is gone, you should get some scallops and get some risotto.
Yeah.
And just like, you know, cook them. And scallops are relatively easy to cook. You just cook them until they're light brown on the bottom, flip them over... Cook them on the other side. You pan fry them. Butter, actually, if you want to put butter in the pan.
Don't those grow? Can, like, those grow on the side of a ship or something, don't they? What's the deal with those scallops?
No, you're thinking of barnacles.
Oh,
scallops are mollusks like oysters and clams and stuff in a shell.
Sure, sure, yeah.
You've seen scallop shells.
No, I have seen them. I just, for some reason, I thought they all grew on the outside of a boat and you had to scrape them off and then cook them or something. But I don't know anything. So.
Like Barnacle Bills.
I had some scallops. Last time I had scallops was probably, I don't know, fancy place I went to somewhere. And they were good. It's not that they're not good. I just feel gross when I eat a lot of seafood. I don't know why.
Oh, really?
Especially when it's super buttery and, you know, like goopy.
That would almost, if I could afford to do it, I would do... seafood for every meal, because it's better for you than red meat.
That's
it's
true.
It's better for you than, you know, like pork, and probably even better than chicken.
Yeah, certainly better than beef.
Lower fat, omega. You get your omega 3 vitamins in there. Mm-hmm. Your whatevers.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I don't disagree with that. It's better for me. And again, like, you give me a bunch of fresh shrimp and some good crab legs. And I'm into that. I don't know what it is about. Like the scallops, and there's another kind. I almost said polyps. That's not it.
nobody. Take the polyp risotto, please.
Oh, gross. But no, like, what is it called? Oh, I like lobster a lot.
Yeah.
I guess I'm just, go. I don't know. It's just, maybe it's just scallops, or maybe it's just the kind I've had before, and maybe nobody
knows
how to prepare
them. Do you feel like they're difficult to cook and get right? Like, you don't want to undercook them or overcook them, or
because you go from goopy to rubbery. It's a thin line, right?
Scallops do have like a sweet spot that you just kind of get them in, because you don't want them undercooked, but you don't want them little rubber hockey pucks, little white hockey pucks either. So
Cyberbacon, aka Josh, says that lobster is the cockroach of the sea. Man, that's one way to put it, I guess.
Yeah, And so where does he take me, take Tina and I for dinner last weekend? Papa Do's, which is like lobster, crab, Louisiana cooking, seafood. Well, come on now.
He's from, Josh Louisiana. Is from Louisiana, right? Yeah. So he knows that stuff as well as anybody. Anyway, Kim, one of the nice things Kim's doing before she leaves is she's making a giant batch of week-long edible in a giant pot as often
edibles?
As I need it.
She's cooking you edibles?
She's making some edibles. No, she's making a huge batch of jambalaya that I can just tap into whenever I want, which I'm pretty excited about.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so that'll be cool. Good. Anyway, meatrop scallops. Stallops, rather.
Meatrop scallops.
We'll figure it out. We don't know. All right, so you didn't do Ready Player One. You weren't ready for playing.
I was not ready. As you heard yesterday on the show, when Nicole was on for Recommentals, Ava was starting to get a cough, and that cough turned into a fever, and so they said, no, we don't want a babysitter. We'll just stay home. And really, that's a great example of the different styles of parenting, because that would be exactly the point where Tina and I say, thank God we've got a babysitter. Let's go.
Yep.
Wee-hoo, let this undertrained 14-year-old deal with Tristan and a fever. We'll go see it.
Here's a handful of Tylenol. We'll see you guys in 2 hours. Yeah,
that's right. But we just rescheduled, so we're going to do it Monday. So I decided to go out to trivia instead. We went out to a really good trivia place, a barbecue place called Moe's Barbecue.
Mm.
And here's the deal. We have the quizmaster that does it at Moe's is fantastic. Guy named Chris. Yeah. Chris knows what to do. Number one, you keep things moving quickly. You don't play 5-minute songs and ask a question and then play a long song. No, you keep things going. You play the music. You just have the music go in the background. You turn it down every minute. You ask a new question. You keep things moving.
Mm.
The dude gets through 64 questions, 8 rounds, and 8 questions per round in just under 2 hours. Starts at 7, usually done by 9. Boom. This guy knows how to do it.
Yeah.
And he's funny. He knows how to call people out for giving funny answers, for giving silly answers, for silly team names.
Sure.
Our team name last night was, does this place serve Cosmos? Because Walmart doesn't.
Well, I love this. You guys are like a secret society of, like, witty people.
I wish I could take credit for that one. But
that's pretty good.
Anyway, so anyway, no Ready Player One. Seeing it Monday, hopefully, as long as the kids are all feeling well, and I'll report back. But I think most people who were hinging or waiting on my opinion, my review, you're all silly for doing that. But people who are waiting to hear what I thought of it, you'll probably see it this weekend before I do. So now I'm going to be waiting for your review and waiting to hear what you guys think of it.
I saw, or Dave Michael saw it, and he sent me a text and said, gave me a big thumbs up, says he really enjoyed
it. Good. Yeah. I'm glad someone could pull through.
Yeah, somebody made it through. It made it happen. Somebody else online said, who was it? Oh, Trixler, the guy I was playing Heroes with yesterday on that stream for Blizzard, which by the way, that was like an all day affair. As soon as I got done here, I got on there, and that didn't end till 3 something. So I never ate. I was starving. Oh my gosh!
Oh
dude.
My gosh, dude! Yeah, you gotta
so
say
so hungry.
No, I need a bio break, and you just go and you shovel 2 fistfuls of Raisin Bran into your face or whatever.
Oh, actually, there you go. Alternate theory. Maybe that. Meatrop Stollops guy. Maybe I just was hunger fever, you know, like I was so hungry. Because I was pretty hungry when I was over there. I didn't really eat much yesterday. So, and then my wife brought pizza home last night while I was in the middle of doing core, and I ate way too much pizza. I had pizza dreams all night. I had heartburn. I got to not starve myself and then binge. It's awful.
Yeah. No, that's not good. All right. I have an idea. So we got Wendy coming up later for Therapy Thursday.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
She doesn't listen to the first part of the show.
No. The rest of the show, as far as she's concerned, doesn't even exist until she's done.
Right. Exactly. That's all underwater. Mm-hmm. Therapy Thursdays is the part of the iceberg that sits above the water that she's aware of.
Yeah.
When, you know how you like to hang up really quick on people?
I do.
Right before you hang up, say, Meatrop Stollops, and then hang up.
Okay, now what will be fun with that is to see if she'll like immediately send me a text or a follow-up or an email.
What did
you say? Yeah. We totally should. We're going to do it.
Yeah, sounds good.
At the very end, I'm going to say,
better if we both say it like, Meatrop Stollops.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. Meatrop Stollops, and then hang up on her. Okay, we're doing it. We're doing it.
Perfect.
Thanks. Okay, so one other thing. I've been, so every day I do like a exercise drawing in the morning. I've done it. Yeah. I always do it every day.
Which is great. I envy that because I should be doing the same thing to keep my skills.
Keeps me, I think you're way better than you give yourself credit for. Brian can draw, you guys. You just never see it. It's really good. But same with my wife. She can totally draw. And she always says, oh, I'm too embarrassed. You and Carter are better. I'm like, honey, just let your freak fly. Go get it. Anyway, so I try to do that every day. It just keeps me, you know, kind of in my imagination in a place I like, and it doesn't, it's usually just for me. It's not something I'm doing for somebody else. And I did it yesterday before the show. I was supposed to do it today. Forgot totally that I had a 9 a.m. Phone call thing, conference call. Just completely spaced it. So today after TMS, I'm gonna do one. So if you hang around, as soon as the show's posted, because I want to get that up and out before people, you know, worry about where the show is, I will do a doodle. Okay,
cool. So that's the, very good.
That's the plan. Yeah, just in case anyone cared, and maybe no one cares. I don't know, but if they cared, then hot damn, I got you covered.
I want you to today. I want you to draw legendary Hollywood actor from the 1940s, Mitrop Stolops.
Oh, Mitrop Stolops. He was so good, and he deserved that award until he. He had that controversy, you know.
That's right, the scandal.
The scandal.
The Stolops scandal that rocked Hollywood in 1943.
Yeah, the 43 Stolops, let's call it a event. Not event. what's the word for I'm looking for here? Not event.
Scandal?
Scandal. It's another word when you say, you remember the, don't, never forget the such and such word. Mitrop Stolops. I have no idea.
There you go. Yeah.
All right, you guys, let's do this.
This is your radio newscaster with another exclusive, sensational summary of world and local events.
Look at this. It's the morning news brought to you by
Nikki Moore and her latest novel, Marked, Chronicles of Kalan, Book 3, scheduled for release on Friday, March 30th, which is tomorrow.
Oh my gosh.
With the ebook available for pre-order on Amazon to celebrate this release. And since the series is not meant to be standalone, the first book in the series, Kyrene, is available for free this week. Pick it up before tomorrow. Pick it up today is basically what I'm saying. You'll have to pick it up today.
Yeah.
Links for all three books can be found on Nikki's blog, moore.books, I'm sorry, moore-books.com. That's Moore, moore-books.com. Or search for Chronicles of Kalan, C-A-L-A-N, on Amazon.
We assume it's Kalan and not Kalan. I don't know.
I think she put a pronunciation guide in first one of
these. Oh, right. Yep. Yeah. And she sent this follow up after, said, hey, here's a shorter version. And like I said, just doesn't include that. So Kalan, there you go.
Kalan.
Hey, go check that out. That's awesome. And congrats to her for having that happen on Friday. That's awesome. Remember the price fixing milk lawsuit thing you could file a claim for and get a little money out of the milk industry for? Do you remember this?
I don't remember that at all.
I remember this vaguely.
Price fixing milk lawsuit.
Yeah, there was this lawsuit. It was a class action lawsuit thing, and you had to live in Michigan. I remember us talking about it on the show, so it didn't affect you and I necessarily, but I just remember a lot of talk about this at the time. There was some scandal, speaking of scandals, about price fixing.
Hmm. Okay.
Well, here's the latest on those payouts. Back in January 2017, as a result of the class action lawsuits, people who bought certain dairy products in Michigan were eligible for a cash refund. The antitrust lawsuit alleged a nationwide conspiracy by CWT and its members. I don't know what CWT stands for.
I don't know. The
cold, withered teat.
I'm just looking to see if there's any other...
I really wish it was cold, withered teat.
The country western tacos.
Oh, those sound good.
They do.
Doesn't that sound like a good taco? That sounds like a great taco.
Sounds like something you'd totally get at Jack in the Box or something, right?
Oh, sounds really good, yeah. Anyway, well, now that you say Jack in the Box, it sounds terrible, but whatever.
I ruined it.
It says here that this, I guess, is some industry group, and its members were being accused of limiting the production of raw milk by prematurely slaughtering cows in order to illegally increase the price of milk and other milk products. So basically they were creating an artificial shortage by killing the cow before the cow had time to give more milk.
Jeez. It's almost like a Shkreli maneuver.
It is very Shkreli maneuver.
Very Shkreli.
Yeah, Shkreli. That guy in prison.
That's right. Well, we need an update. Can we give him the ability to blog his experiences in prison?
Actually, can we? So I noticed Anthony Weiner. I watched that Weiner documentary.
Yeah.
Everyone should watch that. I should have made that my recommendal yesterday. I'm going to do it. Yeah, I'm just going to do it now. Everybody watch Weiner. It's worth watching. But that dude is currently in jail. And he's now looking for pen pals.
Oh, hey, can we set him up with Shkreli?
That's what I'm saying. Perfect combo, man. He's looking for pen pals. That is the weirdest thing. And to hear yesterday that he's not, was it Justin? Or maybe it was Justin on Tuesday. Yeah. Saying that, that now she's not seeking divorce again. I don't understand. Yeah. She seems like a nice, intelligent person. Mm-hmm. Politics aside, and whether you think she should be helping Hillary do anything, forget about all that for a minute. Huma Abedin is this beautiful, with it, educated, smart person. Why she sticks... Now, I understand maybe during the mayoral race in New York, right, why you might...
Supportive and... Right.
Sure, and you, and it's politically and expedient.
Dirty laundry out in the air and stuff like that.
Sure, you right. let it pass, but like kind of like Melania Trump's not going to dump him until he's out of office, right? Mm-hmm. She's going to, trust me. She's going to be done. But it's not, but she's going to wait until this is over, right? So same thing, I get that. But when that was over and he was sexting a 15-year-old and got sentenced to however many months in jail for this, that's the time. And so it seemed like she did it. She went, oh yeah, I'm getting a divorce. This is all happening now. And everyone went, all right, finally. Okay, makes sense. Right. But now word that they're not going to follow through with it is they've withdrawn the paperwork to do the divorce. I don't understand. He's a weasel, that guy.
Right, but maybe he's just got some weird power, right? Like he doesn't look like the type who would attract the women he was attracting on via sexting and stuff like that.
Right.
What was the thing that Elaine? Oh no, it was the thing that Kramer had that the rabbi was warning him that oh you're the vodka or something like that and saying that Kramer had this weird power.
Right, over the nun girl that was at the
exactly
Lithuanian yes. whatever, what was the name of that church? It was a very devout sect of people here at the,
that's right. I forgot what the Kavorka, is that it?
The Kavorka. Yeah, he was like called the Kavorka or something like that.
You're the Kavorka. It's right there. Sister Roberta was leaving the church. Kramer has the Kavorka, Latvian word for the lure of the animal, meaning that women can't help themselves around him.
That's what it was. And the girl and the nun was going to leave the convent for him.
That's right.
But then he went
has the Kavorka.
Yeah, and he went and covered himself in like oils and like
right, smelly stuff, like eating garlic to chase him away.
Yeah, and then went in there and she was like, oh, this is gross, I don't want this. Yeah. There's always a Seinfeld episode to help us with life, I've found. That's just the way
it
works.
Yes, it really is. There's
that's who runs Barter Town.
All lessons can be learned from those lovely nine seasons.
That's right. Best nine seasons of a three-camera laugh track sitcom in the history of the world. right. All right. Well, anyway, here's the deal. The claims ended in January, so if you thought you were going to get in now, you can't. But here's what you get. Fresh milk products price ranging from action payouts have been finalized. There are more claims than anticipated, which lowered expected payout amounts on a fixed settlement fund. Individuals will receive $6.79, and entities, meaning like stores, will get $190.13.
Oh, nice.
Well done, everybody. Yeah. It'll change your life forever. Retire on that.
that's some McDonald's money or some Wendy's money right there for you.
Yeah, why not? Why
get
not
yourself
indeed.
One of those $4 for $4 meals and,
good question. He never mentions it. Knowing Scott, it doesn't work.
The voicemail. Somebody was asking if the voicemail line is still going.
Oh, it's broken currently, and I don't know why. Google's voice thing doesn't work the way it's supposed to.
If you want to leave one, you can use the Coverville one, and I'll forward them to Scott if you just make sure you say that it's for TMS.
Actually, you know what? I haven't looked at this in a while because I kind of gave up on it, but that's why I don't mention it on the show very often.
Yeah, see if it is still working.
Let me see if I got one that's recent here that we'll play it on that. We'll play it randomly. Who knows what this is?
Yeah, let's see what happens.
It says I have some voicemails.
Okay.
All right, let's give this one
burn them.
Let's see what this is. Okay, we're hitting play.
Hey, Scott, it's Chad from South Carolina. Hope you're doing well, man. Hadn't called and harassed you in a long time. Hope you haven't missed me too much. Hey, I was catching up on some old episodes of Film Sack, and just listened to the Adventures in Babysitting one, and Dunaway was talking about the mall in Greenville, right, Greenwood. I grew up about 30 minutes away.
Well, I'll just save that one for later.
Yeah, we'll listen to that. Maybe we'll play that on Film Sack.
Yeah, so that came in on the 16th, so apparently maybe this is working. All right, well, if it's working, 801-471-0462. That's the GOB line. 801-471-0-GOB.
And Bagheera, oh, Bagheera is the one who asked, and he says that he or she knows what the kid said, the grocery kid said.
Yeah.
So he was going to call and leave that message, but he hasn't said in text, in chat.
Yeah, I don't know.
Beats Hilltops. Utes beats Hilltops.
Eats beats what?
Utes beats Hilltops.
Utes like, beats, like Utes, the Utah
like
Utes?
The Utah Utes. Utes beat Hilltops.
University Utes of Utah. Hilltops. Who are the Hilltops? Is that another team?
Or
another
I guess so.
College?
Utes beat Hilltops. Utes beat Hilltops. No. Utes beat Hilltops. No, Stop. Yeah,
it's not it. Well, who are the Hilltops? There's no Hilltops.
It's no worse theory than anything else we've been able to come up with.
No.
Honestly,
trust me, you're already ahead of the game because I have no idea. Hey, a Chinese tourist is. You know, they have tipping in China. They don't usually tipping is kind of rare in the rest of the world, but in China you can tip. You tip here in the United States.
Yeah, you don't tip in Japan.
Right. No tipping in Japan. It's weird if you do. They think you're weird if you do. So don't do it there. You also don't tip in like France or the UK or any of those places.
Insult punishable by death in certain countries. So don't do it.
I shouldn't say Britain because I'm not actually sure, but I know France is that way.
I think we tipped in Britain.
Did you?
Yeah.
Maybe they do it touristy way wise, but if you.
Here's a little tuppence for your trouble, cabby. Governor.
Well, in China, or in Bangkok, rather, a Chinese tourist there tipped a Bangkok cabbie with a pile of poo.
Oh.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Was it her own?
A Chinese, well, let's find out. A Chinese woman who couldn't hold it in any longer. This isn't really a tip.
yeah, exactly.
Left a rather unhappy cabbie with a pile of poo to clean up after she got out of the car and refused to pay any extra. So technically, I guess it is her tip. They reported the incident happened at lunchtime yesterday when a driver picked up a 30-year-old woman at a mall for a trip to Ratchadasapisek, Soy 7.
Sure. Oh, yeah, Soy 7, sure.
Yeah, I've never been there. I've always heard about
it. I've been to Soy 6. I hear 7's lovely, though.
Well, 8's a dump, so.
Yeah, oh, yeah, well. They but apparently the bathrooms are clean.
There you go. Ninja Steve says shitty tip. You're right. Ah, dang it. That's another thing in the jar. Hold on. The driver told the woman she needed to pay a cleaning fee, which she refused to do, saying she only paid what was on the meter and they reached her destination. Mr. Cabby was having none of this and stopped the car to negotiate with a local plod.
Mr. Cabby? Is that an official title? Is that like, or is his name really Mr. Cabby?
I don't know. Let's see. There's a picture of the cab.
Oh, nice. Ooh.
Is it a Mr. Cabby?
Is it a photo? Oh, is it a Johnny cab?
Oh, yeah. Look at that. That's a nice cab.
Yeah, it is a nice cab.
Yeah. What is? Does it say? It just says taxi meter. So I don't know if it's a Mr. Cabby.
Somebody used their iPhone 8 portrait filter so that it just isolated the cab and blurred out everything behind it.
Yeah. It makes it look like a fancy camera did that. It
does. Yeah.
Yeah. The new S9 Samsung does something similar. The cameras on our phones these days, it's crazy, man, what we can do. It's nuts.
So nice, so good.
Yeah, so nice, so good.
So nice, so good.
So good. All right, well, that was a thing. Got weird news today. Hey, how about this one?
All right.
If you're in Russia and you ski or snowboard there, which apparently people do, you know, in Sochi, sure, that's where they had
competitors at the Winter Olympics who did just that, skied and snowboarded.
Oh, you gotta watch Icarus, dude.
Oh yeah, yeah, okay.
It'll just rub you up and down the wrong directions.
Oh, why would I want to watch something that does that?
I don't know. Just Russia's Russia, you know what? If anything, it reminded me that Russia's at least consistent. Like, at least they just always are kind of, they're up to weird shit, you know?
The border's bad enough, moose and squirrel. Not too far off from accuracy.
Yeah, right? It's kind of that. But anyway, skiers and snowboarders were met with orange-tinted snow in Sochi, Russia this weekend.
Ooh.
Now, I'd worry because I'd think, oh, crap, somebody, some plant that had a bunch of chemical weapons exploded and now we're covered in orange-tinted.
Right, just a fog that is drifting over and collecting.
Yeah, but that wasn't it. Turns out the colors are due to a sandstorm that blew across the Sahara Desert in North Africa.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, pretty cool. People were skiing down the slopes and it was like everything's covered in like an orange tint. And meaning the snow itself, not just the air.
Yeah, yeah, it just does look like dirty orange snow.
Yeah,
too much sand.
too much sand hassle is what that is.
Make sand castle.
See chat. See how it's just kind of tinted. Like that's weird. Yeah. I mean, it kind of does look. It almost looks like they're skiing in the sand.
Orange as much as it looks beige. It looks like they're skiing on an old Mac SE30.
They're like, whoa, gosh, dang it, hold on, jeez. I hate camera mics.
All autoplay.
Yeah, what are you going to do? But they... Ooh, wow, look at that. That's apocalyptic looking, some of this.
Yeah, it is.
But anyway, that's the deal there. Some orange snow turned out to be dirt, and not the end of the world.
Do you ski? Have you ever skied?
Oh, yeah, lots of times. Growing up. I mean, I don't do it now because I don't care. I kind of used to when I was younger, and me and friends would go, and we'd go up to Brighton, Snowbird, Alta, Sundance, all these places. We have great ski resorts.
Yeah, you do. Yeah.
As you guys do as well. So it's like a part of the local thing. But these days, I just can't be bothered. It just sounds like work. Plus, it's so much money. It's like $100 just to go up there.
And I've skied exactly once.
Oh wow! Look at that.
Yep.
I could probably count on one hand. Probably five times.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. Total. Like
I can count on one finger how many times I've skied.
I can count on one finger how many times I've skied. No, actually, I can count on no fingers since... Let me think about this. Yeah, the last time I skied, I was 19.
Uh-huh. Wow.
So it's been a long time, and I never really pushed my kids to do it. They've gone a couple times, but they don't really... We just don't make it... I don't know. Maybe it's because it's right here in our backyard. We don't think about it. But
I think that is the thing for me as well. I mean, I enjoyed it. I didn't enjoy it enough to where I'd say, oh, my God, whatever the expense, I must do this all the time.
Yeah.
But
that's where I'm at. Same thing.
But the fact that it is local, it's like, if I wanted to, I could go up and do it again. I know I'd be horrible at it. You know, I'd do the whole snowplow like.
Yeah. Would you try boarding if you went up now? Just see what
I think I would try boarding because I hear that that's while it. It is just as difficult. You pick up the basics a lot quicker than you do with skis because obviously one less plank of wood attached to your feet that you have to worry about making parallel with the other plank of wood attached to your feet. You've just got one.
Yeah. I'm trying to think the last
usually
thing.
Whichever way the usually it's just gravity that you have to worry about. It's like, okay, the hill goes that way. I will go that way when I go down the hill.
I was always losing shite on the snow, what's it called? The seat thing that takes you up.
Chairlift.
Chairlift. I was always losing a ski up there, would fall and then ski down to the right the hill. Or I would drop a glove and I'd watch it slide off into oblivion and never find it again.
Oh, no. Yeah.
So that would always happen. But yeah, like I don't know. It's not, you know what it is? It's like golf for me. Like I don't have anything bad to say about golf and I really like video game golf. But if you say, would you want to go golfing and do 18 holes? I'd just be like, oh my gosh, no. I don't want to go golfing. I'll spend less money on a new golf video game than I will
that's right.
Going down there. Yeah, so okay,
greens fees. Greens fees and a cart. See, that's, I mean, I'd do it. I have a set of clubs. If somebody said, hey, let's go play golf, I probably would do it as long as they knew that... that they'd see very little of me unless they were over on the very sides of the of the course. Like, well, how expensive are the houses that are on either side of the of the fairway?
Right. You play a very wide game.
I like the slice.
Sure.
Yeah. I like the 80s Coca-Cola.
It's like a Sprite competitor. Yeah, Sprite competitor. Yeah.
Or I guess it was a Pepsi Sprite competitor.
Actually, and they had orange slice. They had all kinds of
They did have
flavors. Yeah.
I think that was it. I think it was just orange slice.
And I liked slice. Yeah, I liked it. But anyway, that's me. I'm just, I'll go, I guess. But I'm not really having that great a time. It's fine. It's more about hanging out with somebody I like or whatever.
Yeah, right.
We can do that so much cheaper somewhere else.
There's a places where you can play, do the golf where you're just standing in front of a video screen and it judges by the way you hit the ball where it's going to go.
Yeah.
Guess what? I'm fine with that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's totally fine. And listen, what's fun for me is Mario trying to get into a hole and get past a giant mushroom as he does it. That's fun. Playing in real life golf, it's kind of boring. It's not my thing.
Right. There's some new Switch golf game too that I read about. That's like you're playing golf with anything but actual golf.
Oh, tools. I have this game. It's
Golf Story. No.
Golf Story. That's it.
It is Golf Story.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I love it. It's very 8-bit. So if you're cool with that kind of style, or 16-bit probably. But it's definitely retro, but it feels like the old Mario golf games with the story modes. Like, it's mostly, there's golf in it, for sure, but a lot of times it's like, someone needs to hit this bird off this stick out in the lake. Can you do that with your golf ball? It's that kind of stuff.
Okay.
I liked it a lot.
I like that. Yeah.
I liked it quite a bit. I thought it was great. Anyway, but I lie. You know, this is so funny, because if the new golf game hit PC or Switch or something, I'd go, oh yeah, totally going to get that. I bought Steep, that snowboarding skiing game that Ubisoft put out. I got it on sale on Steam and I love it. It's really fun. Like, the video game versions of these real life activities, love them.
Yeah.
It's just not some, they're just too expensive in real life. I don't want to go pay for that. I'm cheap. I'm cheap.
Yeah.
Hey, here's a deal for anyone who loves McDonald's French fries.
Okay, I do. I think that's what McDonald's does better than anything else at McDonald's is their French fries. Because
really?
They're consistent. They have the right amount of salt, which is the worst amount of salt for you, but at least they have it.
I would argue that In-N-Out when they're fresh out of the thing, In-N-Out has really great fries. But they can go from awesome to poopy in about 20 minutes. So you got to get them right at the right time, or else you're going to be sad. I'll give you that. I worry that they're so, I mean, the reason they're so consistent is because they're made out of space age materials. And
that's right, yeah.
Not really good for me, but anyway, a giant rig overturned on a highway and spilled McDonald's French fries all over the place in Irvine. So I'm sure those Blizzard people were thrilled about it. Do you want fries with that rollover? A big rig filled with McDonald's French fries overturned on the 5 freeway there in California. Happened at about 1 a.m. Nothing good ever happens at 1 a.m. Mm-hmm. In Irvine near the Culver Arena, or Avenue, rather. The big rig damaged a tree and spilled a lot of uncooked French fries everywhere. The driver was not injured. I was going to ask some of our friends in Irvine if they saw this, but it was like tons of it just everywhere. All over the highway.
Wow. I imagine there's video and footage and
something,
stuff.
Right? At least some photos. Yeah. Let's see. Yeah. Let's take a look, chat. Oh.
Oh, yeah. Look at that. Wow.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
They don't look so good, actually.
No, they don't. Oh, here's some video.
The McDonald may have grimaced after seeing this big rig.
She said grimaced.
Yeah.
Did you hear that? I hope she's got a Mayor McCheese joke coming up. Or I want my money back. All right.
Full of French fries overturned on the freeway.
These guys. They're such a hoot.
I like how she made it sound like that was an accident.
Yeah, that was great.
Also known as the 5 freeway. It happened just after 1 a.m. in Irvine near Culver Avenue.
Why does she sound like she's talking like this?
Because they all do and they suck. I hate
damaged
them.
A tree and spilled a lot of uncooked French fries. The driver, here's the good news, was not injured.
Yeah, the rest is terrible news.
Yeah.
Terrible.
He may not have been injured, but he was a little salty.
Oh! That's pretty good. Oh, well done. We're going to take a break on that note and come back with Wendy and deal with an email for Therapy Thursday. That's the plan. So come on back after the other side of a song, Brian, we'll play now.
Sure. Big thanks to Brendan he's the director of publicity over at the Syndicate for sending me this one. This is great. I really, really like this. This is a Toronto artist named Bossy. Her real name is Anne Doris. She's getting ready to release her brand new debut album called Not Pictured, which comes out April 27th on Culvert Music. She's got a video for this song out. You should go check it out because it's a lot of fun. It's very 80s, like 80s colors, 80s style. And vocally, she reminds me of like if you had Jane Wedlin of the Go-Go's fronting the band Churches. I think that's what you'd get with this. It sounds like a weird combo.
Yeah.
But man, I am so digging this new song. I'm absolutely digging it. The song is called Strawberry Moon. The upcoming album is called Not Pictured. Check her out at bossyperson.com. Oh, is it net or com? Hold on. I want to make sure I get this right.
No worries.
It is at bossyperson.com. BossiePerson.com to find out more about her and the album. This is great. It is Strawberry Moon.
Do you buy Soda Burst, madam?
Well, not too often. It's kind of expensive.
Well, madam, here's good news. They've just lowered the prices of Soda Burst in both the two-pack and the family pack of four.
Oh, bless you. My grandson will be so happy. He's been brooding a lot.
Soda Burst. Now at new lower prices. Soda Burst by Birdseye.
I said, hold up. Wait a minute. Something ain't right.
Do dogs have brains? Because I'd like seriously wanted to know. This is the Morning Stream.
All right, we're back, everybody. Welcome back. That was a very Bengals kind of vibe. I liked
Bengals,
it.
Bengals, yeah, good. Yeah, good combo. Go-Go's, Bengals, churches.
Yeah.
80s churches vibe. Totally love that.
Traverches.
Traverches.
Traverches, yeah. Their name.
Bossy, again, is the name of that artist. Bossie, if you want to find out more about her. Go to bossyperson.com.
Do you think anyone's ever anyone ever sat down Traverches and said, yo, that's a V. Y'all know that, right? It's not a...
Well, it's supposed to be like old Roman chisel writing, right?
Oh, is that the deal?
They call that, isn't it?
I don't know. Like a Roman numeral sort of deal? Like a five?
No, like how they used to do their U's as V's when they would chisel stuff in because, I don't know, maybe it's because it's hard to chisel a U. I don't know.
Oh, this is a really good point.
Because of the curve.
Yeah. I feel like I'm learning something today, which I didn't expect. we're calling Wendy. We're going to make it work. But she is not answering. Hello, Wendy. Are you there? Oh, Wendy? She's green.
Huh.
That must mean that... hello? No, let's try ringing her again.
Okay.
Ringing her again. By the way, yesterday a lot of people said, hey, was there a big chunk of the show missing in the middle? It sounds like something got cut off. No, it was when we paused for Dunaway.
Oh, right.
And then
right.
We came back talking about Pokemon quests or something. And people thought they missed some big, huge thing. They didn't. It was like 10 seconds or something. It was no big deal.
You didn't miss anything. It's totally fine.
It's weird.
Hello.
Oh, hello. Good morning. Hi, how are you?
Good.
Oh, good. Here's your
How
theme.
You
Here's your theme today.
And later she's like, oh, he was telling you he's rich. And I was like, oh, I thought he was telling me he's extra boring.
There you go. A nice Wendy clip to start the day. I don't remember the
That's
context.
That's funny. Yeah. I usually hear myself and think, oh, stop. It's like makes my ears bleed. But
no,
it
sometimes,
sound like me.
Sometimes you're kind of a hoot. That's how that's the truth.
Sometimes I'm kind of a hoot.
Kind of a hoot. Yeah. We raised pretty good hoots in the Johnson clan. And here's the thing I know about Wendy that I talk to you about this sometimes, but and lots of people agree with me. But you were actually born to be the more natural, like, radio media person. Like, absolutely 100% I'm sure of this. But you just took a different path. Yeah. No, for real.
You mean because I can't say words correctly and
well,
I
have
say
that,
things like cat and chicken porn accidentally? Yeah, I'm surely
no.
Made for this.
You have a thing. You're good at it. And one of these days, it'll probably have to be when you're not living on a different planet. But we're going to figure out a way to capitalize on that more because I think Wendy could be the next Dr. Phil, but not lame. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, that's easy to do.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
See, there you go.
Like, give me an actual challenge.
Yeah, give me a real challenge. All right. Well, it's good to have Wendy here. She's my sister, but she is also a practicing therapist. She helps people with real problems all the time. Comes on this show every Thursday. And we throw an email at her to see what she thinks, what she would have them do. And we help you with your problems. So here we go. You ready for this one? I'm going to read it.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's do it.
Here's the email. This is from Alex. Gave us a name, so I assume it's okay to use it. Hello, all. My name is Alex. I am 28-year-old male located in the Midwest. Ooh, mysterious. We don't know what state.
Mm-hmm. There you go. That's how he can remain anonymous.
It's one of those states where Roseanne got the biggest numbers.
It is, yes.
Anyway, it says this. Now, my question has some of what I feel is humor, but at the same time, it's a serious topic for me. My girlfriend of 2 years just moved in here and up here with me. We had been having a long-distance relationship over the past few years, and finally made the move to get her up here. Now that alone is a big deal for me. Why did that look wrong to me? Doesn't matter. I'll keep reading. Getting accustomed to no longer living alone and having her with me all the time. It's been great, but then a few weeks ago, another bomb got dropped, and we found out she's pregnant.
Oh.
There's a baby in there.
It's a bomb.
This will be my first child, and this will be her first as well. Although I am scared and nervous, most of me is overwhelmingly excited at the aspect of becoming a father. Here's where I need some advice and some tactics on this whole ordeal. I don't know if it matters that he called it an ordeal, but that may be a problem.
Yeah.
She's beginning to get very, 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 that's three very, emotional and upset over slight issues that she normally wouldn't. I'm fully aware that this is the normal part of pregnancy and hormones raging and emotions set to full blast. So I'm being as patient and as supportive as I can be. But for instance, last night she had a blow up over me tickling her foot the incorrect way. We need more on this. Thankfully, he elaborates.
He does elaborate, yeah.
Yeah. She enjoys her arms and legs and back, etc., to be lightly tickled. It helps her fall asleep. This isn't strange. He says strange, I know, but I do this. But Kim will do this for me. Puts
like the back
me
of your neck
out.
Or the back of your arm or something?
Psh, totally out. Now, if I do it to Kim, though, even barely just like a little on her arm, she'll punch me. She hates it. She hates that feeling of being tickled or lightly, you know, touched like that. She can't stand it. So if you go up to Kim and say, give me your arm and go like this, she likes that. She likes a nice rough scratch. No problem. But if you go up and go ee, like this, the fight is on. She gets so pissed. Anyway, so I understand this. Anyway, it says this. But I mean, she yelled at me to stop and I was annoying her and to get off. And I went upstairs and went to bed. All right. Honestly, this sounds totally familiar. This is just one of many instances and examples. I know this is just the tip of the iceberg, and many, many, many people have gone through this before, but I just want to be a good supportive boyfriend and find other ways to be there for her when she has her moments rather than blow up over something so minuscule and petty. Any advice that will help me weather the storm? Thanks in advance, Alex. So, the idea that pregnant women, their chemistry changes, their... for in both like really nice, quiet, little sweet ways, and then other kind of caustic, oh my gosh, she's a monster kind of way. This isn't new by any stretch, but it's also a real trying time for any couple. So what would you suggest for this nice couple that is otherwise seemingly made for each other, but now they're having this problem?
Well, first, let me tell you a story. I was pregnant with my first kid and I came home from work and Adam was cooking chicken, and this is how it feels. He's trying to murder me. That was his intention, was to murder me.
Whoa. Really?
Because the smell of cooking meat, can still even saying those words make me gag a little bit, is, and obviously there's some biological reason, you know, the morning sickness, which is all day sickness for me and for a lot of people, there's a real revulsion towards meat, probably for safety reasons, you know, like, you know, and if you're a vegetarian, you probably don't know what I'm talking about, but like there's a biological imperative, like don't poison yourself at this stage. Right.
Yeah.
So you're going to be really, really ill, and cooking, I could eat it after it was cooked. Okay. So I walk in, he's cooking, and my rational mind is gone. Mm. And all I can think is, he hates me. He's trying to kill me. And I just like freak out at him. And he's like, that look I've seen in my children before, which is like pure innocence. And I really thought I was doing the right thing. And, I had to leave. And I walked around the block and I came back after all the cooking was done. And it didn't smell like death. And I said, I'm so sorry. Like I was overcome by a monster.
Had it not been for the reaction you got, you would not have realized you had done that, right? Like it's
no,
you were.
If
not
he had fought with me, if he'd picked a fight, like you ungrateful crazy person, you know, I would have. It would have been blow
up louder. Yeah,
times, right. It was not good.
Yeah,
yeah. So that said, I am not. I don't want to brag here, but I'm like the most boring woman in the world. Like I don't get PMS. I don't have mood swings. I'm just like, I'm all the time trying to just like, I know that sucks. Trying to empathize, but really, I don't really get that stuff.
Mm. Do you ever have to just jam a knife? Do you ever have to jam a knife into your hand? Do you ever have to jam a knife into your hand just to feel?
Well, maybe. Maybe it's like I've swung so far the other way. Yeah. I'm a monster. I don't know. Yeah. No, but it's a little more of like the sort of the fluctuations that I think are really pretty normal. But when I was pregnant, and in especially that first little bit where your body just is under attack by a parasite, right? Yeah, from within. That's how it feels. I can relate. I can always channel that, like, my sweet husband is trying to murder me feeling, right?
Yeah.
So that said, she's got lots of good chemical reasons why she's being irritated and why something that worked yesterday is not working right now. And he's probably going to notice this if he hasn't already, but if his breath is just slightly off, and wow, it's over. Get away from me.
Yeah.
Because it's like you're on fire a little bit. You're just, everything is more sensitive. Foods that used to mean nothing to you suddenly are, I mean, I can still barely say the word progresso soup without vomiting.
Oh my gosh, really? That's hilarious.
Yeah, because somebody, I don't know who, tried to feed me some when I was sick, and it just associates. Yeah, it's horrible.
That's how, anyway, that's how Kim is with string cheese. She can't do string cheese. Yeah. To this day,
I love the
thought of string cheese, having it anywhere near her, is enough to make her just want to Ralph everywhere.
Yeah, even the word. So you think about that. How is string cheese ruined for a lifetime? Nick is 18. Like, get over it, Kim.
17, but yeah. Almost.
But it has everything to do with how intense that stage is, and especially the first go around. Mm-hmm. And then there's another thing happening for this emailer, is this was not planned. This is not, you know, we've been married a while and we've been trying to have a baby and we're just excited. There's a getting adjusted to the idea at the same time, mm-hmm, that might add an extra layer of sensitivity, or it's just new kind of your adjustment is at the same time you want to barf every minute, mm-hmm, if you're not actually barfing every minute. I don't know. So it's a more sensitive time generally. So let's give him some advice something practical he can do with this. So first of all, both of you have had pregnant wives before, and you're dudes.
Yeah.
What do you say to him from your perspective?
Oh man.
Why do you think we only had one?
Well, in my case where we had three, Kim's weird. Like I cannot think of, other than the string.
Let me guess, she never was anywhere like this.
She was really sweet and soft and kind and kind of quiet and introspective and smiled a lot.
Lifting up her robe to put on every morning. And
keep in mind, she was sick as a dog for, especially the first pregnancy, a whole chunk of that pregnancy. Just, she'd be at work and go, I'll be right back. And she'd go yak and come back and go, all right, now where were we? Like I worked with her at the time. We worked at the same company. And she was mind-blowingly calm for somebody who was nauseous the entire day.
Sure.
But for the most part, and candy coat. There you are. I'm not.
Here's the thing.
She was not hard.
It's Kim is Mother Earth, dude. Like, we all know that, right? So she's going to be a different case. But give us an example of when she is irrational and you're trying to do the right thing and you're getting your hands.
Okay. Now, so this is where I was leading to. It before her pregnancies, if I was sitting next door on the couch watching a movie and I would lightly tickle her arm, to use the emailer's example, mm-hmm, she loved it. It'd calm her down. She just liked it. It was a nice little thing. And I liked it too. And so that was great. Babies gone, done with babies. Can't do it anymore. I'm convinced that is the result of having those babies, I think, or something. I don't know what. Something
your
changed.
Feet get bigger. Your hair gets darker. Uh-huh. Your spine shrinks, compresses. And you can't have your arm tickled anymore. Everyone knows that.
Well, that's how it felt, because now she can't stand it. And if I even hint that I'm going to do it, she'll go, do you want to be in trouble? Do you want to give me? Do you want me to punch you in the arm? Like, she's like, she can't even take it. So you know, like, as easygoing as it seemed, a lot of this is just because she makes it seem easygoing and probably was going through all the same ups and downs. She did have, I've never really talked about this on the show, but Kim had miscarriages between each kid. And those were really hard. Those were very emotionally draining experiences, not just for the obvious reasons, but I think hormonally speaking, it just kind of left her in shambles each time. So after Taylor, miscarriage. After Carter, miscarriage. And then I guess it's supposed to just be the two. And they were both rough situations. They were early miscarriages, but it was like her reset button, kind of. But outside of that, it was never like a miserable time for me. I mean, that's the only way I can compare
okay,
this.
Okay, wait. This is really important, actually. It isn't a miserable time for you for the most part. I mean, I just recently, this is so me. I had a Kindle apparently 8 years ago. I didn't even know I had it. I just found it.
Yeah.
Apparently I brought it to Sweden and I plugged it in and it works. And I'm like, what was I reading last? And I was reading, My Dad is Fat by Jim Gaffigan.
Yeah.
But everyone should read it. It's so funny. Yeah. And he is talking about the dad's role in pregnancy and birth. And it's really hilarious.
I love Gaffigan.
He's like, the most impotent man in the room is the one who's his potency actually started this whole process. You know, I don't know what I'm doing. They don't let me do anything, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
It's pretty funny. But yeah, so there is a very strong difference between you and the pregnant woman is that you don't have any biological skin in the game at this point. Like, you don't change. You eat more, probably, right?
You're a bystander. You're like, you're in the observation lounge, really.
Well, and you, yeah. And so Ibit, we didn't, I think I cut you off. You were about to tell us your end of this. I mean, you stopped with the one, but, oh, you weren't? Oh, sorry. I thought you were.
Thank you for, you know, Kim being the model. Tina really didn't have that either. I mean, she had a tough pregnancy with a lot of sickness, morning, afternoon, and night sickness.
Did it ever feel like it was directed at you, though? Like, did you ever feel...
Never felt like it was directed at me. And there might have been times. I certainly don't remember any, again, 21 years ago, but I don't remember any that were like, oh my God, who are you all of a sudden? You are not who I...
You're cooking chicken to kill me. Yeah.
Right, exactly. Yeah, no, she was always really good about that sort of thing. And so she did have some emotional hotspots. I don't remember stepping in them.
Yeah. You have blocked it out.
Yeah,
maybe. Also, like,
maybe. Yeah.
This guy is just recently living with her. So who knows if they were living together and she was not pregnant, if some of these hotspots would be showing up. And now they're just amplified because of pregnancy, or they may go away as soon as she's not pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really tricky thing. And it's one of the things I think that makes male and female relationships so difficult is that I think for a lot of women, dudes just can't get it. You just don't have the same thing. Your monthly cycles are what? You're a little extra chin hair? Like, that's it or something? Yeah. I don't know what you guys do. But for us, it's, you know, pretty big deal. Right. So there's a lot of newness to the relationship that is impacting this. Whereas, you know, so he's taking it pretty personally, of course, and he's struggling to sort of like, what do I do with this? When if he'd lived with her for 5 years, he would know a lot of this already. And he'd be like, oh, it's just amped up a little bit. So I have this thing. I don't think I'm hypoglycemic, but I act like I am.
Yeah.
So I will suddenly need to eat, and I'm a little bit not nice when that happens. I'm hangry very quickly.
Yeah.
And when I was pregnant, it was 0 to 90. And again, it was like, Adam, do you want me to die? Is this what your plan is? Do you want me to starve? So I figured out I had to stop being mean because he was less quick to get me food. Instead, I moved to funny. So I would hold my hands up like I'm eating a piece of like meat.
Yeah.
And I'd say, the baby's eating its placenta. And it would just creep him out.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Like, I'm so hungry. The baby's eating its placenta. And I'd act like I was eating a placenta. And see, I'm a really normal person otherwise. Well, I mean, that's debatable. But yeah, there's this thing that takes you. Like, I had a sister-in-law. She had pica. And so she would. One day her husband came home and she was licking the stones on her fireplace and he caught her.
Ugh.
And it's like, who am I married to? Well, you're married to someone who apparently is having a mineral deficiency and is licking the fireplace. I mean, it's just a weird, hard time. So
yeah.
Couple things for him. Just take a deep breath. You'll get through this. And when she's in a good mood, and no one wants to do this, so I hear what I'm telling you. What I'm saying is, hey, ruin a good mood, she's finally in. I know. But trust me, that good mood's only going to last so long anyway. So when she's in a good mood, talk to her about this. Ask her, what's the best way to work with this? What is she? And she may not know exactly what she needs or what she wants you to do, but sort of come up with a game plan how you discuss this. So for most couples, what happens is, and it kind of could be either partner, someone's highly volatile or emotional suddenly, or, you know, there's, you know, it flips everything on its head, and the other person has a choice. Do I engage that same level of intensity? Do I walk away? Do I say sorry? Like, you just don't know what you're doing.
Right.
And so often you'll have one partner shutting down, the other one escalating. And the one is escalating also because you're shutting down. You're shutting down because they're escalating. And then you're on this merry-go-round. And the way to fix that is like the most obvious and hardest thing to do, which is talk it through and sort of pre-game it for the next time. So when this happens, what would you like me to do? And here's the really important thing. He also needs to tell her what he would like to have happen. Now, I'm not guaranteeing that's going to happen, but he needs to, I mean, to some extent, I mean, we could extrapolate this to any relationship.
Pick the right time to do it, buddy.
Yeah, exactly. You can't get her drunk. That's not good for the baby. But, you know, like have a conversation that is, you know, and you might want to wait till she's 12 weeks along or 14 and the sickness has gone down or, you know, or whatever it is, you know, maybe pick the right time. But here's the thing about this. And this is what you don't want to have happen, is speaking of Dr. Phil, one of the things he loves to say, which is literally the only episode I've ever seen, but I quote it all the time because it's pretty good, even though he said it, is that we teach other people how to treat us. So yes, I thought Adam was going to murder me. And if he had done maybe certain things, that would have just gotten worse and worse and worse. But he would not put up with me being completely disrespectful. He was very patient and empathetic, but there was no way, like, it's not going to get to where I got to abuse him. That was not an option, right? Because he had a line, and that line is, I respect myself and I respect you and you need to respect me. And so this is tricky. This is why sometimes it's tricky to do this order that they have started, which is long distance relationship, get pregnant, live together. Yeah. You don't have a lot of the baseline of establishing some of these conversations in respect. And it isn't like, oh, you're a disrespectful person. It's when you're crazy hormonal, it's hard to feel really circumspect and do it the right way. So have a conversation, but really in your mind, kind of decide what are your lines and what is okay and what can you sort of let go of and what needs to be talked about. You know, there should be lines that you have. There's, you know, no cussing at me, no calling me names. Like, I'm not saying that's happening yet or that it will, but to have sort of something in place to sort of manage that. Because you're basically, I mean, I'm going to steal a quote from, I don't know, probably some
famous life guy. Sure.
Guru.
Right.
Yeah. Who knows?
Tony so Robbins. Let's hope it's Tony. I hope it's Tony Robbins with his huge white teeth. That's what I'm hoping here. Okay, go ahead.
I don't think it's you teach people how to treat you by what you allow, what you stop, and what you reinforce. So, you know, it's maybe good to have that in your mind. So he got up and left.
Yeah.
Which is not a terrible thing to do if that's the best way for you to handle that, but kind of be thoughtful and think about it beforehand. I think most of us just sort of live our emotional lives as they happen.
Yeah.
I don't think we often sit down with a planner and like, okay, how will I handle massive upset? So it's a weird thing to say, but it is really a powerful thing to do, which is together as a couple sort of start to discuss these things. Because here's where millions of kids have had to watch millions of parents behave badly.
Yeah.
Because they never figured this crap out while you were in the womb. And they figure it out. And it's not that you're perfect when the kid's born if you've, you know, had all these good conversations. It's a work in progress. But there is a whole lot of, I mean, I have adult clients whose parents will still do their bullcrap communication in front of them as 30-year-olds. And they're just like still playing the game, which is, Mom and Dad, get along. And you're like, okay. Right? So it's, stop the madness before it starts by sort of addressing, like, here we have some information. There's some emotionality. Here's how I respond. And a really big thing, Alex, is to recognize what you do wrong in communication, not pointing simply to, okay, when you're rational, I think you're crazy. you know, or something, but think, okay, so what happens is there's a great way to talk about this. There's some really good parenting classes out there. And I actually have a referral for, or a reference for everyone to take a little parenting class if they want. So remind me of that. But there is this idea of the shark music, you know, in Jaws when it's like, nah, nah. You know, somebody do the song for me. That song. Thank you. I should have just asked you to start that. Anyway, so the idea is that you're going along in your day, you start your parenting, you're, you know, the baby's born or whatever place you are in that situation. And if you don't start to recognize the Jaws music starting, then you're going to make mistakes. Yeah. And what the Jaws music is okay, let's say your parents, I'm going to give a real life example from a client. I had a client whose mother was horrifying, and she was basically psychologically abusive about everything. And one thing she said was, trashy people eat spaghetti, and they hold their fork and knives this way. Are you guys there?
Yeah, we're here.
Yeah, last time.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah, you're totally fine. Just so exciting.
Yeah. This is super intense.
Anyway, so trashy people eat spaghetti, and they hold their knives and forks a certain way.
Yeah.
So every single time she held a fork and knife, that was in her head. And that was, you know, and every once in a while they were like, oh, we should hurry and make some spaghetti for the kids. And it was like, you know, she'd messed with her mind, right? So that is, I want you to imagine shark music playing every time she has to use a fork and a knife. Okay. So along comes a child, and the child is about to use a fork and a knife. And if you don't hear music and recognize that this is no place for you to make a rule or parent about, because it's a really sensitive, painful childhood mess up for you challenge, that's when you sort of slap your partner's hand and are like, your turn. Like, you take this one. And because every partnership, you know, sometimes partners have similar Jaws theme songs about various things, but most of them are different, which is a pretty interesting dynamic, I think. Yeah. And so you got to work with what you know about yourself. If you don't know anything about your parenting triggers, take a parenting class, figure it out. And then also your partner, and you start to work on how you work together. I think for some couples, this happens really naturally, maybe a lot of shark music going on, but I think, you know, most people have something to learn from good communication about it.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I feel like these guys are going to be okay. Oftentimes this stuff's just so brief. Like, not always. Some people have really hard pregnancies that change their, you know, they're just susceptible to whatever, and that's 9 months of really hard business. And then sometimes it's like, well, that first month I was barfing a lot, but I feel a lot better now. And, oh man, I'm so excited for the baby. Ooh, he kicked. And, you know, it's a great right up till the end. And then your wife does something weird, like Kim, where she had two purposeful natural birthings in a row. She finally took some drugs on the third one, but that wasn't even for some altruistic reason. She was just like, well, I think we're done after this. And so I just kind of want to see what it's like. And at the end, she was like, oh, that was really great. I'm like, yeah, well, duh.
And the fact that he, in his message, says he's being as patient and supportive as he can be. You've given yourself the advice that you need. It's like, that is
totally
that is what you should be doing right now. And unfortunately, that's all you can do right now.
Yeah.
Right.
And hang in there. And then one day you're going to laugh at this stuff. It'll be funny.
Right. And and if you make the attempt to have these good conversations and she bites your face off, then wait 7, 8, 9 months when she's sleep deprived and has a new baby. Just kidding.
That's right.
Maybe wait 3 years.
That'll be your chance to make it up to her.
Yeah, exactly. And it's attentive and gentle and all. I mean, imagine a parasite growing to the size of a giant watermelon and you pooping that out. So just, you know, be nice. But also make sure your support system's in place. Like, go hang out with your friends. Go, you know, make a phone call here or there. Like, have a way to, like, let off the steam that builds up, sort of, that you can't fully take out on her, because it's not going to work. Right? Or you can't fully discuss something. So make sure your support system's intact.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Good advice. By the way, I noticed we had a new listener in the chat room today. I hope he got a kick out of it. He was like, "Wait, now what's this? This Thursday? What is this?
What's
Therapy
special
Thursday?
About this? Yeah, welcome, Real Frenchist Fry.
Yeah, we do this every week, man. And real Frenchest
fry. That's
Frenchest
awesome.
The Frenchiest of all fries is who he is. Right. So it's a great place. Like, be thinking, like, if you got something in your life, you're like, oh man, I don't know. We got like real therapy here. So send it.
Yeah, dude, that was real therapy.
Yeah, look at that. Yeah, that was, that's normally billable at like $300 an hour or something like that.
That's right.
Whatever
darn
it is.
Tootin'.
So when you
so I have a little referral for people to check out.
Oh, cool.
What actually, do you got? One of the Frog Pants people sent it along to me, and I checked it out, and I've referred a few people to it. It's called go.meekerparenting.com, M-E-E-K-E-R, parenting.
Meeker, like you'd be a meeker person, like you're meekly.
Yeah, okay. Meg Meeker is her name. She was a pediatrician for 30 years, raised 4 kids of her own, and it's a parenting course. And here's the thing about it that I love. It's you know, it's good, solid stuff, but you can get the course for $47 and you get all the bonus content and like a lifelong, you know, whatever for $97. And you are not going to find a parenting class anywhere for that little. So cheap. It's really cool that she's made that available. So, and it's been reviewed really well. I've referred a few people to it, and it's kind of good. But here's the point. It doesn't even have to be that one. But I really think if you're going to be a new parent or you already have kids and you just need a little help, or you need to get on the same page with your partner, half the time, that is the point of a parenting class, is literally to just, you know, make the divide between the two of you a little smaller. Because we all come from our own Jaws music thing. Like, you know, my kid, if they're just independent and happy and like fix things themselves, then that's what they should be, because that's what I did. Right. And then Adam, in his mind, all kids are rotten to the core because he thinks he was. So we parent very differently. Mine's like way more freedom. His is more like way more they need guidance.
Yeah.
So when we disagree, it's really nice to have a third person expert who's like, here's some great theory. Here's some things to try. And you both start to buy into it as you engage with it, so that it really helps. It just helps. The more you know, the better.
Yeah, the more you know. As the old TV saying goes, the more you know. Here, in fact, you know what? I'm just going to play it. The more you know. all right. Well, that's great advice. Hold on. I hear. There we go.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah, I'm hearing
not
it.
Not just the tail, not just the fins, but I'll give you the whole shock.
I'll give you the whole shock, see? So that sound, it reminds me to remind everybody that if you would like more high-quality things from Wendy, you can go to the website therapythursdays.com. There's new content happening there, as well as a way to contact her directly, which means that some of that contact may show up here as an episode of the show. What else? Wendy Dunford on Instagram. She has a Twitter account, but we can never remember what it is. It's like Wendy.
Something about Thursdays.
Thursday therapy.
Google around.
Wendy Thursday therapies, something like that.
I meant
to have that before the show today, and I totally forgot to grab it.
I mean, it's always trending, so it's hard to forget.
Yeah. So there it is. No. Oh, one real quick thing before we go here. Hold on. Let me pull this up here. I gotta ask you this question. Hold on. Where is it?
Oh boy.
Here it goes. Metrop Stallops. Okay, she's gone.
It wasn't supposed to be set up that much. We were just supposed to be like, all right, hey, see you later, Metrop Stallops. Quick.
I know, but I'm not good at this. This is what I'm bad at. I'm terrible at setups. So anyway, we'll see what she comes back with. She'll probably text me in a minute, and I'll laugh, and it'll all be a good time. All right, there's Therapy Thursday for you, and that is going to do it for the show. Thank you all for being here. Thank you for listening. There's all kinds of new stuff happening. So let's see. What's today? Thursday? There's some. Oh, the art stream I'll do pretty close to after this. Guys, give me like half hour to get the show up. And once that's done, I'll hop in and we'll do a little art stream. And then there's a new instance tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Mountain that will definitely be happening tomorrow, come hell or high water. High water being new babies and hell being Terpsters. Right. Terpsters convention he's at in Europe right now. But we'll make it happen. It's happening. I think Garrett Weinzerl is going to sit in with us, which means for sure there'll be a show. So that's happening tomorrow. There's a TMS PM tomorrow. Sorry, go ahead.
TMS PM. I'm going to plug. We got a Pokemon Go podcast this afternoon, 5 p.m. Mountain Time, twitch.com/Pokemon Go podcast. We're going to talk about the new questing, how it's going to bring some people maybe back to the game who gave up because there was nothing new to do when you're done collecting Pidgeys and Rattatas.
Yeah.
That, all that stuff fires up tomorrow, the new questing stuff. So get the jump on it. Learn what's coming today at 5 p.m. Mountain Time.
5 p.m. Mountain at twitch.tv/PokemonGoShow. Is that it?
Pokemon Go Podcast.
Podcast. There you go. Yep. I always get that mixed up. I will check it out because I'm actually curious about the quest. That's a thing I like to do in video games. So maybe it'll bring me back. I don't know. We'll have to see.
Maybe.
So there's all that and more. Patreon.com/TMS is how you can support this show. That's why you get the Friday afternoon episode of the show, the PM edition, which is tomorrow at 1:30, because you guys unlocked it there. Learn more about that and how to support the show over at patreon.com/TMS. It's super, super simple. And a huge, huge thanks to everyone who already does. You can find us on the web at frogpants.com/TMS. You can email us, themorningstream@gmail.com. And you can find us online via Twitter at Coverville for Brian, at Scott Johnson for me, and at Morningstream for the show. We will now leave you with a cover of Brian's choosing.
That's right. All of those things are true. Totally
great.
True.
Great.
Jonathan Lester wrote in, said 12 years. 12 long years, Brian. Come March 25th, it has been 12 wonderful years of being together with my outstanding wife, Melissa. Her dedication to school, work, and family has kept me going throughout the years. Thanks, love. I've requested a cover of Depeche Mode's A Question of Lust. If this can't be done, I'll leave it in your capable hands. I know the 25th of March is on a Sunday, but if you could play this before or after, we'd be thrilled. Either way, maybe we could eat rice.
Oh, my gosh. All you do. Eat rice. We haven't done that in a while. Okay, hold on. Here it is. You can eat rice. No, I'll do it two ways. You're going to get the first clip. Then you can eat rice! And now you can get it in reverse. See how we eat. There you go.
Oh, wow. Okay. That was mellower. I was expecting.
I forgot I even did it. Anyway.
Perfect. So, A Question of Lust. The specific version that Jonathan requested is the cover that was done by A-ha for the BBC Radio 2's Dermot O'Leary show back in 2009. I love that version. So, why not? I'm happy to play that version. This, I believe, A Question of Lust was done in the Vince Clark days of Depeche Mode, back when Just Can't Get Enough, those early days when Depeche Mode was a little bit happier.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I'm confirming that, but we don't need to wait for me to confirm that. Like I said, A-ha covered this thing on the BBC Radio 2 Dermot O'Leary show. Here it is. A-ha and A Question of Lust.
Sounds good. We'll see you guys tomorrow for TMS PM 1:30 Mountain Time on Friday. Bye.
question of trust. It's a question of not letting what we've built up crumble to dust. It is all of these things and more that keep us together.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.